This is God's word. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This past week, we have had a great week together, remembering Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. If you remember back last Sunday evening, we thought about his entry into Jerusalem, which was his destiny to die. And each evening this week, we have remembered his death and the many implications and the many benefits of that for us. We have given thanks for the forgiveness offered to us. And today we've celebrated that Christ is risen. So what now? It's kind of the position Jesus' followers were in. But what now? The book of Acts follows directly on from Luke's gospel. And at the end of Luke, Jesus appeared to his disciples. He got them to touch his hands, his feet. He ate with them and he explained to them that everything that had happened was to fulfill Scripture. And he told them then to remain in Jerusalem to receive the promise from the Father. There's kind of sense among the disciples of, but what now? What's to be done now? What do we do? What's next? Well, Luke begins there in verse 1 that we read. He says in the first book, that is Luke's gospel, he says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. Acts has been referred to as the continuing word and deeds of Jesus by his Spirit through the apostles, or more simply, the Acts of the risen Jesus. And what Luke wants us to see as you read through Acts is not to look and say, goodness, look what these apostles have done. Look what these apostles have achieved. Aren't they amazing? He wants us to look and see the power of Jesus Christ. He wants us to look and see what Christ is accomplishing. Luke's gospel is concerned with all that Jesus did while physically on earth until he ascended. And Acts then is to do with all that Jesus is continuing to do through his followers, through the church. And in verses 3 to 5, we get a recap, really, of the end of Luke. There was that 40-day period between when Jesus died and ascended. And we read here in Acts that Jesus presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. That little phrase, many proofs, the word used there, it is very rare apart from in works of history. And these proofs that were Jesus' appearances, we thought about them a bit this morning. It was the different times he appeared to people and proved who he was after his resurrection. And he sent to Theophilus here to encourage him. He said, look, Jesus is actually risen. Jesus is alive. This is unquestionable. It's a fact of history. It's not up for debate. So you've got to grasp this. You've got to get this before anything else. Jesus is alive. So what now? What do we do with this? Well, the disciples ask, they say, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this what's going to happen now? Seems to be their obsession. They couldn't seem to get their minds away from this. The disciples were hoping for Israel to be restored immediately in a political and national sense. But Jesus responds and really saying, hold on, no, no, no. He says, this isn't what your minds should be filled with. Don't let your focus just go there. He says, this isn't what's going to happen. But, there is a but. He says, but this is what's going to happen. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. This is the promise. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, times and dates, don't get too caught up with this. This isn't for you to think about, but get your mind on gospel mission. Verse 8 is what we know as the Great Commission. Followers of Jesus have been given a task. We've been thinking about that already. They've been given a job. And we see here that the only hope of success in this job will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. So they are to be witnesses. We are to be witnesses. Well, witnesses of what? If we go back to Luke 24, verse 46, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He said, it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name, beginning from Jerusalem. And he says, ye are witnesses of these things. Jesus has died. Jesus is risen. Men need to repent, and they will know forgiveness of sins. Allow me just a couple of references here. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, we read that our gospel came to you not only in words, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. In Titus 3, we were saved by washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Followers of Jesus, their job is to present the gospel. Jesus has died. Jesus has risen. Repent and forgiveness is found in him. But this message will only be believed. People will only repent and know forgiveness of sins by the power of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, to be involved in this task, we need to be 100% reliant on the Holy Spirit. We often talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. And again, we thought about it a bit this week. I think it was Wednesday evening. And there are various roles of the Holy Spirit. But here is one very clear role of the Holy Spirit. And if we want to know and experience the power of the Holy Spirit, then clearly present Jesus Christ and see what God can do. I think we can often overcomplicate evangelism, or witnessing, or however we want to say it. The Great Commission is here. It is what it is. I wonder at times, do we not want this to be what it is? And the other side is that often we can become very burdened by this idea of having to witness for Jesus, and overburdened or even defeatist when we think of witnessing to certain people, whether that's at home or in the workplace or wherever else. And of course, then we need to ask ourselves, are we relying on ourselves, on our strategies, on our methodologies? Or are we really relying on the message of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit? Remember this simple thing, this book of Acts, what these men are doing, it's about what God is doing, it's about what God is able to do. So Jesus assured the disciples, he assured them of what he would continue to do, and he gave them their role in this, and then he was lifted up. And we read verse 10, while they were gazing into heaven as he went out, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. It seems as these disciples are gazing into the sky, two angels come and kind of mildly rebuke them, give them a bit of a shove in the right direction to just get on with the task. Why are you standing here looking into the sky? Don't just stand about waiting for his return. Get on with what you've been given to do. Stott says it's the earth, not the sky, which was to be their preoccupation. There's work to be done. Let's all get on with it. Are we ready for this? Are we ready to keep going? Are you motivated to keep going with this task? Christ has ascended, but we have his presence. We have the Holy Spirit, and his work is continuing through his church by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a privilege. What a mind-blowing honor to be involved with what God is doing in this world. So what now? What do we do going on from here? We keep going. We busy ourselves with the gospel, and we do this with the sure and certain hope that Christ will return again. As Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, that superb discussion on the resurrection, and he ends it, he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your work is not in vain.